the Business Bunker? Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, August the 7th. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-presenter, the famous Joe Dodds.
Hello.
Joe. Hey, guess what day it is today?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Come on, listeners. It is Little Dodds's birthday. Hey. And we've got Little Dodds in the studio, and Little Dodds is 6 years old today. Hello, Ellie. How are you?
Fine.
Are you having a lovely birthday?
Yes.
Have you had loads of presents? Oh, she's thinking about
not
it.
Not really.
No, not enough yet. We're going to get you some more, aren't we? Because you're having a party right after the show.
She is. She's only just got home. She's such a jet setter.
I know.
We saw her briefly on Saturday.
She's when just we back in from the pub from last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we swapped her from best friend to cousins, and she's just come back half an hour ago, so she's
brilliant.
Not had any presents yet, because she's not been home yet.
Well, we got two things to do here, haven't we?
We have.
We got a little present for her to open in the studio here,
mm-hmm.
And I think while she's doing that, Ellie's friend Gabby is going to do a rendition of Happy Birthday. Do you reckon?
She is, yeah.
Yeah? Are we ready for this, guys?
Right, so I've got to hand over the present, have I?
I'd hand over the present, and then once Gabby's cleared her throat and had a spit, we're going to hear a rendition of Happy Birthday, I reckon.
Okay.
What do you reckon?
There you go.
From the top. Let's go.
Yeah, here we go. Right, ready?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ellie. Happy birthday to you.
Awesome.
I've got goosebumps. I don't know about anyone
that
else.
That is fantastic, Gabby. Thank you.
I couldn't hand the present over because it would have been too crinkly during that beautiful singing. Gabby's only 14, and that is, like, amazing.
That is amazing.
Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you, Gabby. That was brilliant.
I'm going to hand the present over now.
Go on. So, go on, Dodsey. Little Dodsey. Rip that cover off.
Rip it off, quick.
Oh, Russell.
What is it, Ellie?
No idea.
A business bunker t-shirt. A ginger mouse mat.
And do you know what, Ellie? If you keep that until you're all grown up, you can sell it for enough money to put your mum and dad in an old people's home.
Oh, look, she's looking really sad now. He's joking. He won't be upset for that much. She has got another present. Can she just open that?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go for it.
I'm impressed with this. The ginger t-shirt that I refused to wear at the business exhibition. But it looks very nice. Orange was Ellie's favourite colour when she was little. So
really?
Oh, wow. What's that, Ellie? She doesn't know.
No, nor do I.
Thank you. It's lovely. Yeah. It's something to do with jewellery or something, making bangles or something. So that's very cool.
Brilliant.
You made her day. Thank you.
Have a lovely day, Ellie, and enjoy your party later. And happy sixth birthday.
Thank you.
That's all right, sweetheart. Cool. We got
right,
a
back now on with the show.
Yeah, we've got a back line up for you today. Do tweet us by following me at Vanilla Web. We've had three or four tweets in already. Or you can call us on 01303 874 998. We'd love to hear from you. If you're too shy to speak to me or Joe on the phone,
then speak to Little Dodsey, it'd be much easier.
Yeah. You can email us bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but the chances of getting your email read out are pretty low because I've got a million emails already. So you're better off to tweet me at Vanilla Web or use our hashtag Business Bunker or to call us on 01303 874 998. Couple of things, just want to report on a few things. We had a bit of a technical change around last week and we lost the TuneIn app stream, but I'm glad to report that's all back now. So anyone that used to tune in via TuneIn app on a smartphone or a tablet, it is now working again, and I checked it just before we came on air, so do feel free to listen to us via that.
That's so cool. I must give that a try.
Yeah, it is really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. You just search for us under Business Bunker, mm-hmm. And we come up, and the orange logo comes up.
And so what's the app called again?
It's TuneIn. TuneIn Radio. Yeah.
Okay, it's, cool.
There's a free version and a paid version.
Mm-hmm.
They're both the same, except the paid version, which is like 59p.
Mm-hmm. Expensive then, for the quality of radio show that you're listening to.
Exactly, yeah, it's really top-end stuff. Thank you for that, Chad. Yeah, it's the paid app enables you to record shows and preset them.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can pre-program it with an alarm, so it just comes on when the show comes on.
Oh, that's good. You don't need that, because you can listen to our archive anytime you like.
Exactly, but if you wanted to wake up to the business show...
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Rise and shine.
Bearing in mind, we have listeners across the globe.
That is true.
You know, so from Lagos to Los Angeles, from, you know.
And how are the goats? I don't remember hearing about those for a long time.
Chloe and Clarence, I haven't heard from for ages and ages.
Do you think
they
still listen?
I don't know. I don't know. If you're listening, Lisa, give us an update on the milk yields of the goats listening to the show. We'd like to know. We're really keen on keeping the agricultural businesses of Kent going.
Exactly.
Cool. I just want to report on one other thing as well that has happened, and I just wanted to tell you about it. We had the first Create Startup event at 10x10 Labs at Fruitworks on Saturday, and it was absolutely brilliant. I'm really blown away by it, and, I just want to say a big well done to Jamie Andrews and Corinne Campbell.
Jamie Andrews, that'd be your son then.
Yeah, don't you? Yeah.
Just mentioning that in case people were wondering.
Yeah, yeah, no. They never make the connection.
Because he's so brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He's brilliant, handsome, got hair and all kinds. Yeah.
Jamie and Corinne
organised the whole thing and they did a fantastic job.
Mm.
We were absolutely packed out. We got more than 40 people there.
Wow.
We had about...
And that was during the Olympics and on a Saturday.
It was on a Saturday,
really
during
impressive.
The Olympics, on a lovely day in the centre of Canterbury.
Mm.
And people
was there wine?
No, there wasn't wine and people spent all day there and we had a fantastic day. We had about half a dozen business angels there.
Mm-hmm.
We had three speakers and they were brilliant. We had Sarah from Best in Glass,
yeah,
Susan
great,
from Vision
she?
On,
mm-hmm.
and we had Oliver Mustard Playfair, who
he
was
didn't listen to last week's show, did he?
I don't know.
I got his name wrong and his company.
Yeah, yeah,
and all
probably.
That.
Well, Oliver founded Derrimore's, the knitting website.
Mm-hmm.
And he sold it for a truckload of money after 18 months. And he was hilarious. He did the most hilarious talk. But, of course, for the rest of us investors, he ruined it all because he kept saying, making money's a doddle. It's really easy. It is so easy. And we're all standing going, it's not easy. It's hard work. Yeah, you have to work really hard with our money. And he's going, no. It's a doddle. You just set up a website and flog it for millions.
He really did get that hungry crowd thing right, though, didn't he, with knitting?
Absolutely, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And he did a whole talk on how he did that. 18 months. From start to finish. For 18 months, from starting the site up to a multi-million pound sale, knitting. Hey, who'd have thunk it?
Exactly. Brilliant. How frustrating.
Yeah,
he did
an absolutely brilliant talk. We had a fantastic day. And then we had six business pitches at the end, which were brilliant. And Emily, East Kent Mums, I must give Emily a mention. She's the first business pitch I've ever seen with a baby strapped to your front.
Oh, they're always the best. I used to take little Dodsy around with me. It works. It's brilliant. Did you give her the money?
No, we bought the baby.
So it was the real baby, not...
It was a real baby.
Good,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, she changed the nappy before she came on to do her pitch, and she did her entire pitch with a baby strapped to her front.
Brilliant.
And not a peep from him. He was absolutely fantastic all day, and her pitch was brilliant, as well as everybody else's. We were blown away by it. So it was a good day had by all. So I just wanted to mention that. We've already got 100 tweets come in, and we got loads of emails to read out. I tell you what, let me just quickly do a couple of emails, a couple of tweets. Angela from Another Journey Begins, tuned into the Business Bunker, listened to it. Happy birthday to little Dodsy. We got Alan Noak, please shout out for I Shot Kent nominations.
I thought you said I Shot Kent.
I Shot the Sheriff.
I thought, what's that then? No, I Shop Kent.
I Shop Kent
yes.
is the annual e-commerce awards organised by Ice Labs that normally take place at the end of the year. And I went to it last year and it was an absolutely brilliant event. And talking of dragons and such like, one of the previous winners of the I Shop Kent awards was Georgette Hewitt.
That's right.
And Georgette got funding from... Dragon's
Peter
Den
Johnson.
On a TV
Johnson.
From Theo and Peter Jones. Yeah.
Jones, not Johnson. Jones, get it right.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Cool.
Exactly.
So all good stuff. So if you want to enter your e-commerce business for that award, you go to theicelab.co.uk/award and you can enter yourself there. And it's well worth it. And the event at the end of the year, the awards ceremony and everything is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So go for that. Welcome to Kieran Buggle of Forever Living Products, who's listening in for the first time, and their Twitter handle is at FLP Kent. So, welcome, Kieran. Lovely to have you on board. Our listeners grow every week.
They do.
Although I'm not growing. I'm shrinking.
Seriously?
I'm on a diet.
Did you
not notice?
I thought you meant in height. Yes, I did notice. You look very much thinner than last week, Paul.
Yeah, that's not difficult, though, is it?
I'm a few pounds lighter than last week, too.
I noticed.
This is the Mutual Appreciation Society
business, I've lost a stone.
Really? Why?
Guess what's happened? Why did you leave it? Guess
why?
Guess what's happened in the time that I've lost the stone?
You've attracted five women and got a new girlfriend.
No, okay. None of that.
The Olympics has happened?
No, Jules went on holiday.
Well, exactly. Cause and effect.
Lost the stone.
Yeah.
Eh?
Exactly.
Nothing more to be said, is
there? Cause and effect.
Now
yeah.
we know what's been causing it. And I just thought it was food and it was Jules all along.
I don't think the same thing will happen to Jules, though. She went to Spain with a lot of tapas and whatever else, sangria.
Well, she rang in last week, didn't she?
She did.
With a mouth full of margarita and paella.
That's right.
Yes. Cool. I had a tweet from Alex Waterson of FKs. Big shout out for them. FKs, Microsoft Training Company, over in Midway. Rebecca, Oliver, happy birthday, little Dodsy. you guys need to watch out for your presenting jobs, because I think little Dodsy's a pro. Absolutely. Yeah. And another happy birthday from Mark Smith of Made in Kent. Happy birthday, little Dodsy. And
you've never had so many happy birthdays from Kent before, have you?
No. And Angela says she's listening in while eating lunch and listening to the Business Bunker show. So thank you for that, Angela. There's a few more, but we'll come back to them in a minute.
Okay.
I think we'll do an email now.
Okay, cool. Shall I do one?
Yeah, go on.
Okay, this is from Janice, in brackets, the tall one, from the Abbott Spartan Hotel. She is very tall.
Janice, yes.
She always reminds me of that very beautiful person on telly, and I always say that and can never remember her name.
I haven't been on telly for ages.
No, Janice doesn't remind me of you. That would be a bit distressing for her, wouldn't it? But
she's
I can't
taller than me.
The one that was in Strictly, whose dad died in the middle of it and she had to stop. Whatever that girl's...
Tweet it in, somebody. Tell us who she is.
But anyway...
Somebody tweet us and
that's
help
who Janice, the tall one, looks like. Anyway, she wants to let us know about our annual charity car show. It'll be taking place at the Best Western Abbott's Barton Hotel in Canterbury on Sunday the 19th of August from 11 a.m. even. They'll be raising money for Pilgrim's Hospice and the Margate School for Deaf Children, and they're looking for anyone and everyone to come along. There'll be some gorgeous cars displayed on the lawn with a bouncy castle and face painting for the children, and some fashion stalls for those who like to shop. And she says, I hope you can join us and perhaps even bring a car along. So I'm not quite sure what the criteria is. It doesn't say they're old cars or anything. It just says car show.
I think they're classic and sports cars.
I was going to say, it's not going to be just turn up with your random car, is it? Your old banger.
Yeah, your Ford Fiesta. Okay, look at this. It's blue. No,
exactly.
I think it's classic and sporty.
Yes. So, cool. So, you can probably find out more on their website, abbottsbartonhotel.com.
Cool. Okie doke.
Another one?
Yeah, go on.
In 2013, Mike Inkster and Mike Crawley, who will both be 66 at the time, will be attempting to cover 100 ultra-marathons as a tag team around Britain in just 50 days. Wow. Is that the sort of thing that Eddie Izzard did?
Yeah. Only longer.
And he did them all himself. He didn't do it as a tag team, yeah.
Yeah, but so this is longer because it's right around the coast
right,
of Britain.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And they are 66.
And they're old
a bit
guys,
younger.
Yeah.
So that's in excess of 60 miles every 24 hours. Wow. They'll be trying to raise £1 million for BLESSMA, B-L-E-S-M-A.
That's a services
military charity.
Yep.
Meningitis Trust and Diabetes UK. They wish to attract commercial support and have a range of options from just £50 up to £10,000. For more details, go to operationlongrun.org or go to the Operation Long Run page on Facebook, or you can phone Mike Inkster on 07931 564476.
I just want to add something to that, because I met Mike on Saturday. One of the things
they've
got...
Which one? Inkster or Crawley?
Inkster. I met Mike Inkster on Saturday. And one of the things they've got, which is an opportunity for a business out there, is they have partnered up with a number of charities. But those charities have a huge database of more than 1 million email addresses. They are going to be emailing all of those addresses to solicit funds.
Right.
And I suggested to Mike that he might like to try and find a business to partner with that would like to sponsor those emails. Some money, because I think that will work quite well. So if there's anyone out there that would like to talk to a million people quite easily, then get in touch with Mike or me, because there's an opportunity there to do that.
Wow, sounds good.
And to raise some money for some very, very good causes, and to watch two old blokes run.
Yeah, and when are they starting it? Just as 2013, do we know roughly?
No, not at the moment. I think they're still working on the logistics, which is some of it. They have tried to rope me in, but that is not going
to
be happening.
We had enough trouble getting you to do that moonlight walk that you haven't done yet.
I know, I can walk from Herne Bay to Whitstable. Running around the coast of Britain is not going to happen, is it? It's just not.
It's a nice image to think of, though.
Yeah. Anyway, do you know, we're cracking on. We got loads of tweets and loads of emails and stuff, but do you know what I think we're going to do now?
What?
I think we're going to have a bit of tunage.
Tunage? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Is it another birthday song?
No, it's not. It is actually a request. The person that actually produces the gingers, Sean of Diamond Signage and Printing, requested this. We're going to play this while I set up our first guest on the phone.
Cool. Okay.
It's a bit of Police. Have a listen.
With the Business Bunker.
Ah, welcome back to the Business Bunker. That was Police with Roxanne, a special request from Sean at Diamond Signage and Print. Now, hopefully, we've got our first guest on the phone. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Stefan. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you've had a bit of a trip this morning, haven't you?
Yes, courtesy of you, Eternal. Mind you, it's my fault. I'm always late, so nothing new there.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us. We really do appreciate it. Stefan, tell us a bit about, Stefan Myers, you're an author and a consultant, and you've recently written a book, which I'm partway through reading myself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? What inspired you to write it, and tell us a bit about the book?
Okay, I mean, I guess if I give you a little bit of background on myself, as you probably gathered, I've spent some years in human resource management, best part of 20 years, in fact, climbing that proverbial slippery ladder. I've been fortunate to work in both operational and strategic roles within the UK and abroad, leading a gamut of initiatives, I guess, from building shared services, change management programs, organizational design, resourcing, really the gamut of HR activities.
Right.
And in recent years, I made the decision to move from employee status to manage my own business. So from a professional perspective, we provide interim support and consultancy services across a wide range of sectors, even though we're a small business. But I think important and relevant to the book is that over that time, I've seen the latest management management initiatives come and go.
Yeah, sure.
You know, one year you've got diversity trending, another year it's engagement. Currently, I think everyone's talking about authenticity. But from my perspective, fundamental to all those initiatives is the relationship between an employee and his or her employer.
Right.
And what we historically used to refer to as the psychological contract. And I think from an HR perspective, anyone listening in, they may think that's a fairly obvious statement. But in reality, there isn't an initiative that we would undertake that doesn't fundamentally require trust between both parties for it to work. And more importantly, to ensure any investment you make in human resources adds real value to the bottom line.
Right.
I think for my sins over the years, both in an employed capacity and as an owner of my own business, I've seen the best and possibly the worst of management practices. And when the latter leads to a breakdown in trust, there's limited opportunity really for the win-win scenarios we all talk about that lead to kind of the more rewarding levels of engagement.
Right.
I think that depending where you are on that side of the equation, it's kind of easy, very easy for employees to decry their managers and lay the blame at their doorstep. And likewise, it's very easy for employees to decry their employers to decry their employees. But I think in reality, there's work to be done by both parties for any relationship to flourish. And the motivation for me in writing Loss was really that I wanted to communicate this in my own words, and it was a bit of a dilemma when I started going down that route on how I would do it. I thought initially I would follow the typical framework for books in the HR genre,
right.
But in truth, I've never been much of a conformist, and I had a series of furtive starts.
You were kindred spirits there, Stephen, don't you worry.
Absolutely. Never wanted to conform. And I sat down at the desk thinking that I'd write a mammoth textbook and establish myself as an HR guru. But really, I had, I think other things came to mind and Loss was born. For anyone who's been following us on Twitter, I mean, Loss is a combination. It's an illustrative novel.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Stefan. Who did the illustrations?
A combination. Most of them are done by myself and a gentleman by the name of Nicholas Smith.
Right.
And between us, I came up with the concept of Loss, and I had a very clear view in my mind of what she was going to look like. And Nick joined me, and we started working up the other characters to go along with her.
Right.
So as a team, we gelled together very quickly, and that's held us in good stead for the other books in the series, which has been great.
Right.
She proved to be a labour of love towards the end. As you can probably see from the watercolours, they've taken some time. But the book's a medium for expression in many ways, and
right.
We took the key theme of trust and considered the words upon which trust is built, whether that be written or spoken, and I wanted to weave the words with images into a fable which I thought reflected in a business context some of the dilemmas we face on a day-to-day basis, but also in a wider context as well. And so I tried to create a forum in which I could parody characters in their extreme.
Right, okay.
Whilst encouraging the reader to ask What If. Hmm. And we started off with the working title, which was Lost the Plot and Adventures in HR, and sent it out to a number of beta readers. But the feedback we received was that the book had wider appeal. So we dropped the title Adventures in HR, whilst keeping subtle references to it, as you probably picked up as you're reading through it. And again, you know, parodying the dilemmas we might all face, I guess, when building those fundamental relationship frameworks, with, again, the focus on trust.
So is this book aimed at, or is it similar to the sort of, is it allegorical, is that the right word, books like the, I don't know, Who Moved My Cheese and things like that, where you're learning something through a story? Is that the intention?
Absolutely, like? Joe. Mm. I mean, it's like definitely different, written in a different style from Who Ate My Cheese.
So I gather.
It's in Elizabethan.
I love that book. yeah, definitely written in a different style, but very much along the similar along those lines. So, whilst looking to be engaging, it's very much intended to encourage the reader to ask the questions and then follow a train of thought from there. And so by using the images and keeping the text very tight and always bringing it back to the main focus, which is trust, and asking the questions, we hope to kind of solicit a response whereby the reader asks themselves, you know, are we doing the right thing? Are we engaging where we should be engaging? Is the message we're giving the message we want to be received? And that was very much the driver for it.
Right. So who would you suggest should read this book?
Well, when it's interesting because when it went on sale, I thought, it's going to be good for the HR community. People are going to start reading and they're going to start talking about it. And in reality, the readers have come from a broader spectrum. And what amazes me, or has amazed me since it's gone on sale, is the reviews we've had, because I genuinely expected people to come back and make the connection between human resources straight away. And maybe I made an error in writing it and going for a subtle approach, but people have come back and the reviews have reflected other things. A tendency towards people looking for authenticity in their lives, people who have picked up on the subtleties of trust, redemption. There's so many key themes reading when you read through it, which you can latch on to. Even though the focus has been trust, it's got far more broader appeal.
Hmm. And I'm fascinated. Unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time, but I'm fascinated. You've chosen also to tweak the book.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about that. What motivated that? How's that going?
It's going very well. From a standing start some 6 weeks ago,
right?
Where I was of the view that I wasn't going to go and do the usual thing of following people, getting follow backs. I was just going to start tweeting it. I had a few friends and colleagues who knew what we were doing. And through word of mouth, we've accumulated some 3,000 followers without pushing for them. So
right.
Those people have come and followed and probably genuinely engaged. My motivation, I'm a bit of a technophobe, but I think with Twitter, it's a great social medium.
Yeah.
And it gives the potential reader an opportunity to delve into your thinking, to the context of the story, very much in the way that Amazon does when you read inside.
Hmm.
But there's more continuity, and to make that more engaging, the intention was, and what we did was to obviously to tweet the images from the book alongside the text,
right,
which I think makes it a little bit more mysterious and a little bit more engaging as an experience for the reader, as opposed to just getting pummeled with text every so often.
Is the intention to tweet the whole book?
The intention is to tweet the whole book, yeah. When we do a chapter, we leave the first chapter, but we delete subsequent chapters as we go. So unless you start at the beginning, you'll never actually read the whole book online.
Right.
But for those who've been with us, and there's been a number of people who have been following from the beginning, they've subsequently gone and bought the book, couldn't wait to the end.
Right.
But we're picking up new readers as we go, and I'm getting some great feedback, which has been really encouraging.
Brilliant. Give us a shout for the website.
Well, the website is www.lostheplot.com.
Yep. We'll put a link to that on our website so people can find out and they can look at the website, and you can get the book on Amazon.
You can get the book on Amazon, and from next week it's on Kindle as well, and all other retailers. So it's out there.
Cool.
I think I need to borrow yours, Paul. I've just been reading the tweets, and I can't do it when it's tweets. I need whole pages.
I say to people, you need to go to the profile page and read, but it's a bit of
blah. Yeah, it's interrupted with happy birthday to little Dodsy in the middle. I'm sure that's not in the book.
Well, no, but I'm sure there's a book on the way wishing happy birthday, so you watch the post.
Oh, excellent.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that, Stefan. Do come back on and let us know how it's gone.
I will, thank you, Paul.
In terms of Total Sales. It's a really fascinating project, and we really appreciate you joining us today. I know you had to struggle hard to get with us, so we do appreciate that.
No, it's brilliant. Thank you ever so much.
Okay,
thank
enjoy you. The rest of your day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
And you, have a great day.
Yeah, cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
That's Stefan Myers there, author of Lost the Plot. That's LostePlot, Lost the Plot. There's a website, and you can buy the book on Amazon. And as he said, it's soon to be a download.
On Kindle next week, yeah. I need to read it now. You sort of over-egged the Elizabethan bit for me, Paul, earlier, actually.
Yeah.
With all your forsooths and things. And it sounds to me, when I'm looking at the tweets, that it's probably more like people who like reading Jane Austen or people like that.
I think you were a bit...
Yeah. Now, it's not your usual style of read, is it? I could tell by your exaggeration of forsooths and forsaken and things like that.
Yeah, it just made me think of Jules and her banging on about me speaking Elizabethan. That was all.
So looking forward to reading it.
Yeah, it'll be good.
As an HR person.
Look, you know that I never exaggerate. We have 1,872 tweets here that I need to read out. So let me just do a couple of those. Linley's of Canterbury. Please can you let the listeners know that Linley's have the largest selection of Vice spring beds in Kent, and which magazine voted them the top mattress?
I don't know.
I'm telling you.
Oh, which?
No.
I was reorganising my emails, and I obviously didn't hear the beginning of that. I do apologise. That was typical terrorism, wasn't it?
You can't get the staff listener. I try as hard as I can, but, you know, I mean, you just can't get the presenters these days.
Oh, dear, sorry.
No, which magazine voted Vice Spring Mattresses, which is what Lenleys sell, as their top mattress?
Sorry, I'm just reorganising my emails. I obviously wasn't quite paying attention at that moment.
So get along to Lenley's for your new bed. That's the idea. What else we got here? Oh, blimey. Karen Wilkins of Avocet, listening from the Avocet basement bunker. Have a great show and happy birthday to little Dudsey. And that's from Karen at Avocet Recruitment. Daniel Eels of Auratech, the IT company in Broadstairs. Hi, Paul. We are looking for a business sponsor for Tag Pet Rescues open day later this month. Anybody that's interested in that, can you call 0845-6522-438 for more information? So if anybody's interested in sponsoring the Tag Pet Rescue open day later in August, either call that number, or more likely, get in touch with me, and I will put you in touch with Daniel Eels, and you can organise that. So that sounds interesting. And Laura Mendes, can we have a shout out for the Eden Valley Chamber of Commerce? They are hosting a free networking event on the 22nd of August. Guess what else happens on the 22nd of August?
Oh, I've got to get Gary back to sing again.
Yep. It's my birthday.
We could just cut that bit out of the recording, and then we could just play it on the day, because she lives in Cambridge, so I don't think she'll be able to come back for that.
I could ring her.
That's true. You could ring in.
She could ring in and sing to me. That would be lovely. Anyway.
So how old are you going to be? 64?
Almost, 65? Yeah, and I'll be 57, yeah. Oh, no, it's bad,
you're
isn't it?
Looking well on it, really.
Yeah. She dug herself out of that one, listener. anyway, so that's a shout out for the Eden Valley Chamber of Commerce. They're hosting a free networking event on the 22nd of August, and you can find out more about that at edenvalleychamber.org.uk. Craft Fairs UK are getting excited to hear our event being advertised on the Business Bunker. Check it out. Yes, we will be reading that later. Don't worry. We've got an email about that. We'll be covering that at some point. Yeah. If you haven't already done it. No, we
I think
done
you've
it.
Got it. I might have.
I've got it because I printed it off this morning. And Karen's back on from Avocet Recruitment. Avocet Strategic Resourcing offers preferential rates to bunker listeners. So if you want to recruit people using a really professional recruitment outfit, I highly recommend Avocet. And if you mention us, the Business Bunker, they'll do you a deal as well.
Brilliant.
So you can't say better than that. And if you want to call them, their phone number is 0845 459 0085. I'll do that again. 0845 459 0085. And just mention the Business Bunker show.
Brilliant.
Cool. I've got loads more tweets, but we'll come back to those in a minute.
Should I do an email?
I think you can do an email.
Okay.
And then we kind of need to start setting up our studio, I guess, after that.
Okay.
Yep.
We're going to set him up, how?
Oh, yeah, we're going to set him up.
We didn't tell him that bit. And he trusted us as well. So this is from Angela from Another Journey Begins. She's a regular listener and tweets on our behalf and to us and everything else, which is good.
Sorry to interrupt. Sorry again. But we got a Facebook page now.
I know, I liked it.
A flipping Facebook page.
I think I was like number two or something. But I should have unliked it straight away because I'm not in the flipping cover photo picture, so I'm not impressed.
And whose fault was that?
I was at the show.
Mrs.
You just didn't
Dodds,
call
yeah,
me
who,
when it was a photo
who
call,
didn't
did
show
you?
Up on the stand to help?
I thought you were going to make me wear an orange T-shirt anyway, so I didn't come.
Anyway, the point was about Angela.
Yeah.
I posted a picture of Angela in an orange T-shirt on
Facebook
as well.
Yes.
Which elicited quite a response.
Yes, exactly. Well, I was very impressed because I refuse to wear them, I have to say. I don't do round necks either, you say. It's all sort of wrong for me. But anyway, so she's running
cleavage failure. Sorry, guys.
She's running for charity, the Kent, Surrey and Sussex Air Ambulance. As she says, as you know, this is a great charity that relies on public support to keep going. And although Rick, her husband, didn't go by air to London because he had a very terrible accident, I can't remember the details, but I know that still lots of recovery going on. We feel that the off-duty paramedic who did attend to Rick in 2009 could very well volunteer with this charity, and it's our way to continue to say thank you and give back. So she's running the Great North Run in September. It's a half marathon, 13.1 miles to be precise. For her seventh time, and she's chosen this charity for those reasons. She's trying to raise as much money as she can, so she's saying please click on the link that I'm going to give you in a minute and pledge some money. And can we give a shout out when appropriate? So you need to keep this handy for the Sunday, the 16th of September sort of date. So as we
I'll
get
remember.
Closer. Thank you, Paul, she says. Her fundraising page is kent.fundraiseairambulance.co.uk/anotherjourneybegins. So I guess if you find the Air Ambulance fundraising, just remember Another Journey Begins and you'll find it.
There is a link on the Kent Business Radio website
that
to that. We have a section under each show, under all show archives, we list everybody that's appeared on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different categories so that you can find things easily. And those kind of events come under community.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at today's show, which is show number 85,
wow.
There'll be a list of all the websites that appeared on today's show, and if you look under community, you will find Angela's link to her donation page.
Brilliant. Okay.
Brilliant.
Cool.
Do you know what? We're going mad on Twitter as well. Blimey. We'll do those in a minute, and I've got
okay.
loads of emails to read out.
Cool.
But what I want to do is I want to talk to our studio guest.
Good
That's what
plan.
I want to do.
He's been waiting patiently.
Yeah.
Now he's all worried about you setting him up.
Yeah. Well, I can't see him either. The problem is there's a dirty great computer screen between me and him, and we can't see each other, so, you know, he's probably pulling faces at me there.
He's not.
Okay.
Paul is pulling them at you there.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Anyway, it is an absolute pleasure to introduce you to our next guest on the Business Bunker. Mr. Alex Hunter, former head of online for Virgin Group and now an angel investor and entrepreneur. Alex, welcome to the Business Bunker. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
No, thanks for having me.
Bloody, he's there.
I am there.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Really made up that you're on. Tell the listeners a little bit about you and a bit about your background and a bit about what you've been up to.
So I am an angel investor, a company incubator, so I kind of got addicted to starting companies.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a terrible, terrible addiction.
It is actually, isn't it?
It's not healthy.
Man.
There should be some kind of rehab for it. And I'm fortunate enough to do a lot of public speaking around the world. Mm. I've been doing that for, what year is it? 3 years.
Right.
And like you said before that, I was global head of online for the Virgin Group, which was an awesome journey. It was kind of a split role between curating the digital strategy for the mother brand and for Richard Branson, and also working with all of the Virgin businesses around the world to kind of identify opportunities as a group. So it's a lot of fun. Before that, I was in California as one of the first employees of Virgin America, which is an airline there.
Right.
So for those of you that have started an airline, you know what I'm talking about.
Lots of our listeners have done that, obviously.
Who hasn't?
It's actually getting so boring nowadays, isn't it?
So that was fun. It was a soul-destroying, wonderful, beautiful experience.
Right.
So,
That's fascinating. That's a fascinating way to put it, isn't it? A soul-destroying, wonderful experience. It kind of sums it all up in
sounds
one
like
phrase.
Sounds like angel investing as well,
doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh, totally. I'm kind of a glutton for punishment.
And explain to everyone about the accent and everything.
People always
want to know.
It's from Cranbrook.
I'm the public interest person. I always, ask the questions everyone wants to know the answer to.
It's kind of funny. I love your banter, by the way, the two of you. When the Witch magazine, that was like pure Abbott Costello. It was an accident. So
we worked on the timing of it for an hour.
It's
an accident, but they happen every show.
So it's hilarious because I live in England, and when I get off the stage and I speak, people are like, "Oh, where are you from?" I'm like, "Hawkhurst." I'm like, what?
That's brilliant.
I'm like, yeah. So I was born in the U.S. to British parents. I grew up in California, Hong Kong, went to school in Kent, went to university in Kent, went back to California, now I'm back here.
Cool.
So I get itchy feet.
When we met, we were both speaking somewhere, and I was laughing to him saying that he probably plays up the American accent when he speaks in England because we just love the accent when it's, on stage and everything. And I said, I bet you play up the British accent when you get to America, don't you?
He goes back to California and says, hello.
It's hilarious because my brother, who's also an entrepreneur, he founded a company called Adzuna. He's as British as they come, full British accent.
Right.
And people are like, yeah, your brothers, inverted commas, not brothers.
No, but you really are, just a different
related
accent.
To each other.
Funny. That phone rang, was it for us?
I don't know. David outside has answered the phone, but he's not looking at us, so it might not be for us. Anyway,
we'll
carry
on.
If it is, he'll give us a wave, I'm sure. I mean, obviously, I don't want to dwell totally on the past, but of course, our listeners are going to be fascinated by the kind of stuff that you were doing with Virgin Group and other stuff before that. Can you give us a little bit of insight into the whole how from a brand like Virgin, how they perceive the online world and social media world and digital world?
That's a lovely question. It's a difficult one because it is, for all intents and purposes, it's a 40-year-old brand. And we've seen how difficult it is for existing legacy brands to insert themselves gracefully into the digital age. And Virgin, in many respects, not entirely, is branded venture capital. So they apply the brand and the financing and all of the strategic knowledge they've gathered over the last few decades, sprinkled with a little bit of Richard's magic. And amazing things happen in tired industries. It's certainly an area that they wanted to get into. It's one of the reasons that I was brought on. That role didn't exist, so I kind of came on to run it. And we wanted to create turn the Virgin brand into something much more interactive. It is a brand. And a personality that people want to interact with. They want to ask questions. They want to know more about Richard. The brand is so diverse, and obviously it's a good customer service channel as well. So we looked at the way people interacted with the brand traditionally, and tried to find the most sensible, scalable, and that's the key because there's 300 businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the first thing that kind of strikes you is how do you pull together a strategy involving planes, cola, brides.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you don't. I mean, that was the very quick learning. And these are all independent businesses doing awesome things every day by themselves in the industries in which they're experts. So and they're packed with experts themselves.
Well, I bet everyone just wants Richard. Isn't that one of your challenges?
Well, yeah, I mean, having...
I'll say Richard like I know him.
Richard Branson. I was saying the other day,
He's got to be the hardest working person I know. Having him involved is obviously a massive benefit. The interesting experience that I went through was long story short, when we were founding Virgin America, there was a lot of challenge from existing airlines to try and perhaps... They were afraid of us.
Yeah, sure.
This is my interpretation of it. Legal disclaimer, legal disclaimer, legal disclaimer. and because U.S. airlines cannot be owned by a foreigner, Richard Branson is a foreigner, so there were all these types of ownership, like legal nitty-gritty, which I won't even pretend for a second to understand. We couldn't use Richard in our pre-marketing. Right. So we got to learn very quickly the power of the Virgin brand independent of Richard and what you can do to garner public support on a dime. Mm. So, and that those lessons have never left me. And I think that, you know, Richard is Virgin and Virgin is Richard. But at the same time, brand is nothing if you can't deliver your product.
Sure.
And that's what the Virgin companies have gotten so good at, is delivering outstanding product in industries where the customer is getting a kind of a raw deal.
Mm.
And I'm saying that with no affiliation or association to them except for the phenomenally large check they send me every month to promote them. Joke, I'm joking.
Cool. So, you know, a whole heap of challenges there, as you say. And I find it interesting, and of course, in your chosen future career, having left there, you've kind of got into the entrepreneurial thing, and what I'm getting at, I guess, is a big synergy between those two things, because Virgin, even though it's quite a well-established and old brand, if you like, has always been disruptive. It's always attacked industries and disrupted them, and as an entrepreneur myself, that is one of the things I enjoy more than anything else. And it seems,
and that's
like
not even just for the money making opportunities, is it? It's just to be disruptive.
I never make any money. I lose shed loads of money. I just throw money away, but I just have loads of fun doing
disrupting
stuff.
Everyone.
Yeah. And I guess that's some kind of motivation for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, Virgin refers to itself as a challenger brand, or is categorized as a challenger brand because one of the mainstays of the strategy is go into industries where the customer is getting a poor deal. It's how Virgin Atlantic came into being, Virgin Trains, and a bunch of Virgin America, very much so, because if you've ever flown on a U.S. domestic airline, you know it's like slamming your hand in a car door over and over again. So, yeah, I mean, when I...
Sorry to interrupt you, but it just reminded me of a story somebody told me about United the other day.
Yeah.
Have you seen the YouTube thing with a guy with a guitar?
I showed it when we were speaking, so we were having a good old laugh about that.
Yeah, some musician got his guitar wrecked on a United flight.
That's right.
And he made a YouTube video about it and a song, and it just went viral.
And they ignored him.
And they completely ignored him. They completely ignored him. And like a billion people have seen this now. And
Dave Carroll, his name.
Yeah, that's right.
He's now got a whole new career. He does customer service training, speaking, and everything.
Good for him. United are really good at customer service tone deafness. They're actually turning into a kind of an art. So I learned from the best. I was lucky enough to have a lot of great mentors in my career, and I kind of reached a point in my career where I was like, okay, you know, I'm it's time to make someone else you know, a difference in somebody else's life other than people who kind of employ me, and I think that person should be me. So I left Virgin. I turned 30 years old. I left Virgin and decided to go on vacation, which is kind of put my feet up for 6 months and just, okay, that's where I wanted to go. I lasted like 3 weeks. I went home to California, and I just started, like, had all these ideas. And I think that was the beautiful thing about Virgin, you know, spiritually, is they are so excited about ideas. They go, oh, you know what would be awesome? Okay, let's do it. Mm-hmm. Let's go and build it. And that was really contagious.
Yeah.
I started to speak about it, and then I started to do it, and then I started to help people doing it by advising and investing. Mm-hmm. It's the most satisfying thing I've ever done,
right,
by a long shot. One of the most precious moments, I think, that gets lost so often is when two people are walking to Starbucks or whatever on their coffee break, obviously not happy with their lives, or not with their lives, with their jobs. They're just it's not satisfying. And they go, oh, you know what would be awesome? And then they describe an idea to each other, like, oh, yeah, ends in high fives, and they go back to their job. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, dude, wait. That's $1 million idea right there.
Yeah.
My job is to take that idea and go, how are we going to do this? And for me, the pitch process, and I don't even like to call it that, I don't want to see PowerPoint. I don't want to see graphs. I don't want to see projections. Let's just hang out and have a coffee. And if we vibe, if there's a good vibe there, we can find a way to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of angel investors, especially early stage, that's all they're looking for is like chemistry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can wrap an awesome person around any idea and make it work, but it doesn't work the other way around.
It's really interesting you say that. A few weeks ago, we had Richard Farley on the show, a guy that was on Dragon's Den on TV a few years ago, an Australian investor, and he said exactly the same thing. He said, business plans. He said, I invest in people. Yeah. If somebody comes to me and they've got a work ethic and some ideas, I don't even care what their idea is. I'm going to invest in them because they're going to make it work, whatever they come up with. And I think that's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that, you know, you're absolutely right, Alex. So many people, you know, come out with these things and they go, in year three, we'll make a zillion a year, right? Yeah.
In year three, I'll be a trillionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
So what sort of businesses have you invested in, or what's your current projects? Or?
Oh, man. So,
Or should I say, what worked, what didn't?
That's an even better question, which I refuse to answer. No. So my first investment was in my brother's company.
Mm-hmm. Which worked, I think.
Because I know my brother, and I trust him, and I also know where he lives. So,
so was helpful.
The funny thing is we initially started working together as an investment vehicle and an advisory vehicle, and we advise a great SEO company in London called Caliber, who are just geniuses, and we realize that we're like a tennis doubles team. We're strong where the other's weak. You don't want to both be great with the forehand and you both use this at the backhand. So, you know, I'm kind of an overt marketer, public speaker, ideas guy, and my brother is just a genius when it comes to strategy, kind of product definition, the nitty gritty, the details. So, we built a travel site to solve our own problem, which was we're sick of the kind of the way that travel data, decision-making data, was so distributed across the web. There's no central resource or central platform to understand the sentiment, the price, the pictures, the descriptions of all hotels. So we built something called Trip Hunter, which did that and is doing that. We spent almost 2 years developing the software and algorithm behind it. And then he used to work at Quip. He was the UK GM for Quip, which is the local review site. And a former colleague of him of his from Zoopla, they decided to start Adzuna, which is a classified search engine, raised some money in London and are crushing it there. And I jumped at the opportunity to invest in that as well because it was just going to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're already doing a great job.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's...
So very tech-based.
Yeah.
Which would sort of make sense.
Web-based... absolutely web-based because it's what I know. I think I would be foolish to invest in a restaurant or something like that as much as I love food and I can appreciate it on a visceral level. But on a business level, I just can't.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I'm the same. I invest mostly in tech businesses these days because there's so many opportunities. I think that's a lot of it, is there are just so many opportunities. And old-style businesses aren't as easy to start. And
yeah, the capital costs are way higher.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, that is really cool. Do you have a field that you're? Do you tend to operate solo, or do you belong to investment groups? Or
initially, I've operated solo. It gives me a little bit of flexibility. You know, we love to try out ideas. Kind of incubate ideas. We're trying to wind site right now and just to try out some decision-making UI ideas that we have. But I've partnered with people. I think the idea of incubators is so beautiful in its purity and its idea that we can kind of the sum of the knowledge and the resources and the expertise is going to be far greater than if we could just, you know, put them all together one by one in a kind of more linear fashion. So, you know, I do look to get involved. I spend 15 weeks of the year back in the Valley in California, kind of getting a sense of what's going on there. And, I mean, you look at what's come out of the incubator system there from the Y Combinators and Techstars, and it's crazy. I mean, the Silicon Valley is insane. It's like Hollywood was 15, 20 years ago.
Sure.
It's completely 100% rock star insane. So I'm delighted to be not there and kind of removed from that. But it's interesting to see the trends. So, yeah, I think incubators are phenomenal, and it's something I look to get involved with, at least on the periphery.
Sure. No, you're absolutely right. And that California model, and increasingly the Eastern Seaboard model in the triangle between Boston and
absolutely.
And MIT and Cambridge in Massachusetts. Yeah. No, that's cool. Some of us, I was mentioning the event we had on Saturday, and we were talking to a few entrepreneurs there. And one of the interesting things was young entrepreneurs coming along with their first business ideas kind of sit places with a pad and pencil, and you can see that they've really tried hard to think of an idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one of the things that a lot of us were saying is you can't do it like that. You just got to get out there and keep your eyes open.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Oliver from Derrimore's, he was a web designer. That's what he did. He just left college, and he was designing some websites for somebody. And he went, his wife took him to a craft fair. You know, just a little craft fair, and he went, and there's all these clamour of people going, they've got such and such wall, and all these women started punching each other and stuff.
That's the eye of the entrepreneur right there, to sense it.
Exactly.
And they always say, I mean, when someone comes to me saying, I'm solving a personal problem I had, and I'm a big believer in pitch problem, not solution. I mean, if you have the best solution in the world, I don't care if you're not solving a problem that doesn't already exist. Yeah. And the other is find a built-in market. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the macro example of that is Pinterest, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But what he did is phenomenal. Good for him. I mean, I wonder how hard it was for him to get emotionally invested in his business.
Well, the funny thing about that was, and which is why the talk was so good.
I bet he's emotionally invested all the way to the bank, frankly.
Yeah, he was totally upfront about this. He said, I couldn't give a monkey's about the business. He said, I had a goal, and the goal was to own a Lamborghini. And that was it.
And his wife offered to knit him one, but that wasn't good enough. So
exactly, we all did that joke. Oh, we'll knit you one if you give us the wool. And he said, "I don't need to. I've got one." That's why he sold out so early, because once he raised, you know, once he was offered enough to do what he wanted to do, that's what he did.
He'll do it again too.
Yeah,
he'll
absolutely.
Do it again and again and again.
You know, that's exactly what he was saying. He was saying he only sold out like 6 months ago, and he is bored rigid.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, once you've had that kind of the smell of blood, as it were, then you want back. You have this sense of satisfaction and achievement. And the best thing is, you have the capital to build it yourself and retain equity. I mean, if any of your listeners are in the process of raising money or looking for investment, and I'm kind of shooting our feet together, is to hang on to as much of your company as you can for as long as you can, because. Why give any of your company away? Hold on to it. Bootstrap it. Doesn't cost a lot to start a web company. Believe me.
I absolutely endorse that 100%. I quite often say to people that pitch to me, why on earth do you want me to take your company over?
Yeah.
Why do you want that? Mm-hmm. You know, and you're absolutely right, Alex. I mean, one of the big things is for people to think about why they're doing what they're doing as well, because that has an impact. It's really easy. It's not easy, but relative to ask people for money, but you know.
But frankly, who wants to share a Lamborghini with you?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I'm far too big anyway. Oh, I don't like Lamborghinis. But this is a serious point, especially with early stage startup. You know, it's not a question of just getting the money. It's who's investing in you. How do you get on with them as a person?
Oh, absolutely.
You know. If they've got a completely different philosophy to you, it's going to be murder.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's critical for, you know, angel investors and investors at every level, Series A, B, and C, have their criteria for how they invest in businesses. And it's fairly easy for them to make a non-emotional decision. They drop it into the flowchart, and if it spits out a yes, they invest. The entrepreneurs and founders have to go through the same process. If you don't click with the person that you're pitching to, don't take their money, because it will be a nightmare. You will have sold your soul and your company for a year at the least. You've got to find someone to jive with it, and you know, really starting a company is not expensive. And you hear all these stories on TechCrunch and VentureBeat about companies raising, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 million pounds, dollars, euros, whatever. And you think, oh, I should do that too. They're not doing it to start their business. They're doing it because they've proven the model, and now they're scaling it so that nobody else can come in on that territory. You need so little money to actually build something incredible.
But you can see with a lot of the online tools, there's so many of them that start out completely free, and then once they've got their audience and people who love it, then they start adding those premium options, the old freemium model.
I wholeheartedly agree with Alex, and it is kind of shooting ourselves into the foot a little bit as investors in things like this, but really I'd
save you all those mistakes though, Paul, eh?
Yeah, I know, but you know, I'd much rather people succeed, and one of the promises, one of the things that bothers me about the youth of today. I sound like my dad.
Is that with an F?
Yeah, youth. My cousin Vinny, that was my favourite one. Yeah.
What?
Utes. He was from New York when he utes. What's this utes? anyway, you confuse me now. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah.
You sound like your dad, yeah.
You know, so many people come to me and go, oh, I want to start a business, and unless I've got £100,000, I can't. Oh, get out of here.
Mm.
Of course you can. You know, most of us started our businesses with nothing. We, you know, when we started, we didn't do investment. It didn't happen.
No.
You know, you just started a company. You worked freelance in the evening, or, you know, you'd tempt in a bar to earn some income.
Yeah.
And you just pounded the street until you did it.
Yeah.
And when I started Jobs in Kent, which this sounds ridiculous now because job portals are everywhere. Mm. But I started in 1999, and people wouldn't advertise with me for free. Yeah. They'd just go, nah, that'll never work. You know, and for the first couple of years, we didn't make any sales at all. We just lived hand to mouth and had to do other stuff to earn money just to keep it going.
Yeah,
but eventually you turn the corner, and then you end up owning the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, no, you're absolutely right. So, what's the future hold for you, Alex? What are you looking at next?
Well,
he's just trying to steal your next investment, so
don't
tell him too much.
I'm recording this. I've got a hotline.
Something you were talking about earlier.
That's just the setup bit, yeah, exactly.
I set you up. So the investment part, I think, is something I'd like to do more often. The reason why I'm so pleased to be in this part of the world is I think that there's not a lot of infrastructure for very, very young companies to have the funding and advice and mentoring they need. So if we can find a way to scale, I mean, there's organizations in London like Seed Camp who are incredible. They do amazing work, early stage funding. But it's also kind of about the pitch process as well. So the kind of education piece about it, which is why I love speaking so much. I get to travel around the world and kind of relay my thoughts on this, which is often counter to a lot of other people's. So, you know, Trip Hunter, our travel site, is really starting to make some waves, and I think that will expand quickly. Our wine site, which is called Plonker, is taken off.
Love the name. Brilliant.
Plonker.net.
There must be some connection there, some link up with Only Fools and Horses. You must be able to get some PR.
Yeah.
From
hire
Rodney.
I love the position that I'm in because I can work on multiple projects at the same time. I define my own hours. I have a 22-month-old son, so I just, you know, if I want to finish my day when I want to finish my day and go hang out with him, I do.
Cool.
I mean, the biggest decision factor for me, or the thing that I've kept in the back of my mind, is I'll never work for anybody else again.
Sure.
Because I can't lose that independence, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You quickly become unemployable.
You do. You
yeah, exactly. You kind of.
I think I always was.
Yeah.
I couldn't work out why I was working for these dodgy bosses, and I found out it was me.
Yeah. What do you mean I can't go to work in my pajamas? This is ridiculous.
Cool. Look, Alex, we could talk to you all day because this is fascinating, but sadly we need to crash on.
Sure.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Give us a shout for your website.
It's alexhunter.org. Not .com. That's owned by a Las Vegas pornographer. alexhunter.org. I'm not kidding either.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Everyone will be like, oh, I made that mistake. So, yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate this.
It's absolutely.
I enjoyed the conversation.
Feel free to join in the rest of the show because it's brilliant to have you on.
Thanks.
We've not got an awful lot of time left on the show, but for the moment, Alex Hunter, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bug. That's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate
and,
it.
And, you know, investing in business is what it's all about. This show is all about SMEs, startup businesses, enterprise and entrepreneurship. And having people like you around in our marketplace is what we need. It's absolutely fantastic.
Thanks. That means a lot to me.
That's brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And I'm sure Twitter's red hot already with loads of people tweeting stuff, begging for money mostly.
Well, probably, exactly. Before you read some out, can little Dottie just say goodbye, because she's had enough now. She's been very quiet up to now.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Little Dottie can say goodbye. I'm going to play some more tunage, and then we can resort the studio out and go from there. What do you reckon?
Exactly, that sounds perfect.
Cool.
Okay, hang on.
You
can say goodbye.
Bye!
Thank
you.
That's all right, Ellie. Have a fantastic party. Enjoy the rest of your day. And do you know what we're going to do now? Do you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to play some tunage. And this is really cheesy. I'm sorry about that.
If everybody had a motor across the USA, then everybody be served like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, serving USA. You'll catch them serving at the
inside, outside USA,
Ventura County line,
inside, outside USA,
Santa Cruz and
inside, outside USA,
Arteria of the
inside, outside USA,
all over Manhattan,
inside, outside USA,
and down Bellini Way,
inside, outside.
Everybody's gone serving,
serving USA.
We'll all be planning out a route we're gonna take real soon. We're waxing down our surfboard, we can't wait for June. We'll all be gone for the summer, we're on safari to stay. Tell the teacher we're serving, serving USA.
Pacific
Palisades,
inside, outside USA,
San
Onofre,
inside,
inside USA,
Redondo Beach, LA,
inside, outside USA,
all over the whole,
inside, outside USA,
Hawaii and Mia Bay,
inside, outside,
everybody's gone
serving, serving USA.
Everybody's gone serving,
serving USA.
Everybody's gone serving,
serving USA.
Yeah, everybody's gone
serving, serving USA.
Yeah, everybody's gone serving.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. A bit of Beach Boys there. Sorry about that. Well, we're back live. Come on. The famous Joe Dodds is being famous.
Sorry.
That's all right. Welcome back.
You didn't tell me you'd started again. I was just about to ask you if I can have a lift to a Dymchurch after this. but I've said I can, so you'll have to say yes now.
I'm sorry, listeners. You
sorry, you switched the music off without telling me.
Well, you weren't in here.
Oh,
right, I've got an email that I'm going to read. Which follows on from a tweet I got earlier, which is, it says, hi, I run a craft fair, UK events in Bexley Heath on a monthly basis. We have between 25 and 30 stalls for the whole family. Local crafters and small businesses come and showcase their products. And our next event is on Saturday the 1st of September, and it's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Entry is free. There'll be handmade craft gifts and pamper treats for all ages. Thank you for your support. I'm really hoping these events get busy so our local businesses can get their products seen, as we have so many talented people in Kent. And if you want to find out more about that, there is a Facebook page that goes with it. The address is a little bit long. I am going to read it out, but the link is, in fact, already on the Kent Business Radio website. So if you want to find it, it is there on the website. But it's facebook.com/craft-fair-organiser-in-kent/22070821468322.
Can I just make a little point?
If it's highly memorable.
If you have enough people liking your page, you can change it to something more memorable.
Yeah, absolutely. but we won't hold that against her at the moment.
No.
But that link is on the Kent Business Radio website under events and community. So you can find it if you want to find out more. but get along to the Bexley Heath Craft Fair on the 1st of September.
Cool.
Brilliant. I've got some tweets to read out. We've got another opportunity. I think this is kind of inspired a bit by Alex, really. Yeah, so people looking for sponsorship support. Although this isn't a business idea, so it's interesting. Yeah. The Canterbury Players, who I assume are a dramatic society, we'd love a high-profile patron. Not time-consuming, simply support and see and get to see the odd free show. If anybody's interested in becoming a patron for the Canterbury Players, you can find out about them at their website, which is thecanterburyplayers.co.uk. So have a check out.
Yeah, it's cool.
Could be good. Tony Saunders, the Chimney Man, on Twitter. We have a £990 offer for fully installed, certificated wood-burning stoves still on. Why pay over £2,000 when you can get a wood-burning stove from us for £990?
Well, that's a tweet. Surely that's too long for a tweet.
That I made some of it up.
I was going to say, 140 characters, I don't think so.
No, well, I made some of it up because I started reading it and I thought that's not going to make sense if I read that, so I changed the order a bit.
That was good.
I don't mind.
I'm impressed. You're improvising. That's
absolutely
good.
Absolutely,
yeah. It's a good
skill to have. Yeah. Ad-libbing.
Didn't know you were good at improvising.
Improvisation.
Alliteration. Yeah. You know, yeah.
And alliteration.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that as well. I was thinking they were testing you today on the old alliteration.
I used to do a daily alliteration tweet. Do you remember?
No, I don't really follow you.
No, I know you never pay attention to anything I tweet.
What did you do? Give me an example.
Oh, welcome to Wacky Wednesday and stuff like that. Okay. I used to do one every day.
Until I
ran out of days of the week. Anyway, back to Tony and his wood-burning certificated stove. You can find out about that at the whitstablestoveshop.co.uk.
Cool. I keep saying cool. I'm going to have to stop using that word.
Not cool.
No.
It's a wood-burning stove.
It's hot, isn't it?
It is definitely not cool.
It's very hot.
Sorry about that, Tony. It's hot. It's smoking. That one. That's smoking. Go on, give us an email.
Okay, Thanet Evening. Is that the name of it? Yes.
Evening.
The 4N Thanet Evening is next Wednesday. That's tomorrow, actually, not next. I must have got this last week. It's tomorrow, the 8th of August, from 6.30 till 8.30 at the G Casino in Westwood Cross. Come along for some great networking opportunities, good food and pudding. Paul might come in. And the chance to meet new faces. The foresight's going to be from Trevor Cole of East Kent Electrical, who will be providing an informative and enlightening piece on the shocking side of electricity in your home. A good talk if you're keen on a bit of DIY or concerned about the cowboys. You can book your place online, and this is a really long link as well, so I'll just say go to the 4networking, that's the number 4networking.biz website, and then just look up meetings and find the one for Thanet, and that will get you to the right place. And that's from Amanda from Holdridge Consulting.
Cool, and the link actually is on the Kent Business Radio website.
Of course, I keep forgetting to say that.
Because I don't mind typing them all out, you know.
Nothing else to do. Can I do another one for tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'm
having a laugh at the moment.
Why? What's
Well, we've got loads of tourists that have all kind of stopped, and they're all gawping in, and they're all going, you can see them. I said, well, there's a bloke with headphones in there talking to himself. What's he doing?
Is he famous? They're probably thinking.
Yeah. No.
One tomorrow. I've been meaning to go to this for ages. You've been to this, haven't you? Didgibury.
Yeah.
And it's
Geek Central, that is, did
you? I know, I've been meaning to go. Right, so this is at the farmhouse in Canterbury tomorrow, 6.30 for a 7 o'clock start. And they've got a digital parfumier, I think that's how you say it.
Yeah,
he'll be bringing smells with a Z, apparently.
Yeah.
We've got a doctor, who'll be talking about technology and emotion. And we've got a deviant arting cyberpunking horrorist.
Cool.
And it says, I know, it sounds awesome, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it, actually? Might go myself.
The last Digibury I went to, there was a guy there that did a talk on how he adapted, using PHP code, a control panel for his central heating to come on.
That's quite impressive, but I'm not sure. That's quite impressive, but I'm not sure I'd need a talk on it.
Yeah, exactly. But I want you to read that again, because that is the best... That is the best talk headline I've ever seen. Go on.
We've got a deviant arting cyberpunking horrorist.
That's Andy.
Are you going, Paul?
Yeah, I normally.
Well, if I don't go, can you tell us another day what it was all about? Yeah.
A horrorist is something to do with clocks and watches, isn't it?
No, that's a horologist.
Oh, is it?
Not quite the same.
What's a horrorologist?
Horror as in scary.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, I see. Okay, got it.
So, Alex, what's your take on that then? What do you reckon this person's going
to
be doing?
Why would you not go to that? I mean, what possible reason could you not have to go to that?
Exactly.
I mean,
It says more details are on deason-online.co.uk.
Yeah.
Oh, /Digibury. Do they not have their website, Digibury?
They did, but Tim Deason, who organises Digibury, they had a Digibury website. I don't know why. I think he's changing it at the moment.
Oh, okay. That'll be why then. So it's deason-online.co.uk/Digibury.
Yeah, because Tim runs a media company, Deason's Media in Canterbury, and I think they do a new website for it every week.
Every week,
You know, just to play with it. Digibury is cool. It is a cool event.
I do keep meaning to go. As you know, I used to think it always still reminds me of Digibury, as in Blackberry, when actually it's Digibury, as in Canterbury.
It's one of the cool events.
Mm-hmm.
That and Create.
I know.
Create
events are really cool
too.
Exactly. We must get Alex along.
Yeah.
I did tell him all about them when I met him in June or whatever, I haven't sort of followed up with some links. But now he's heard about the deviantarting, cyberpunking horrorist.
How could he not?
Did you see how I got that one in again?
You did, yeah. It tripped lightly off your tongue as well, which I was most impressed with.
Exactly.
Cool.
And then on the same page, so I can put this page down, is the Whitstable Business Tweet-Up, which is on Thursday the 16th, which will be a week on Thursday. And all Kent business people are welcome. It's a free networking event where Twitter users meet in person. But to be honest, you don't have to be a Twitter user. You can just turn up and meet Twitter users and see what they look like.
Yeah. I've got to tell you, I'm...
Can I just finish that? 10 a.m, Hotel Continental, Whitstable. Yes, Paul?
I'm an idiot for tweet ups. I go to them all.
I know, but you turn up at everything, don't you?
Yeah, I'll turn up the opening of an envelope, me. The Whitstable one's my favourite, though, because it's right on the beach at the Hotel Continental.
Is that near Jules' house?
Yeah, it's just on the road from Jules' pad in Tankerton, and Jules organises it along with Ken Lloyd and Maggie Langley. And it's a cracking event. We always get 40, 50, 60 people there.
Wow.
And it's really cool. I really enjoy that one.
Mm. Yeah, good, so on sunny days as well next
year. Yeah. We spill out onto the beach and network.
Oh, lovely. Can I just do one more? Because
it does
say hi, Paul and Joe. So if I don't do it today, it won't be relevant anymore.
I'll just change it.
retype it, print it off again. So I'm reading this out because you put my name on it. So thank you, just to give everyone else an indication of what they need to do in future. Established in 1986, Cobra Investigation and Risk Consultants has achieved a first-rate reputation as a global corporate and private investigation company. That sounds exciting, doesn't it? We've undertaken work and training for global organisations, large petrochemical companies, energy organisations worldwide, in addition to domestic solicitors, banks, insurance companies, celebrities, and Middle Eastern clients. The world and technology continue to move on, and we've evolved over the years to be what we are today, but have maintained two core elements of the business. The personal touch: we actively listen to you, we combine our experience with your brief to identify a mutual agreement in how to proceed, and secondly, we've kept our uncompromising standards of integrity and confidentiality. The partners come from they draw from their many life experiences as ex-forces, specialist metropolitan police officer, London firefighter and criminologist. That sounds very exciting. So they're consultcobra.com is their website. So I'm just trying to think if I need any international investigations done at the moment. But
that's John and Nick, and I know those guys.
Are they really sort of, do they turn up all dressed in black and, you know, very sort of subterfuge? Like they do. Oh, he's nodding. Do they bring chocolates?
And they are both built like brick outhouses.
Oh, really?
They are massive, the pair of them.
So if they judge it a bit wrong and get into a spot of bother, they're okay.
John's ex-police and Nick... is a doctor of psychology. He's a forensic psychologist.
So is he the criminologist?
He's a criminologist.
Yeah. Wow.
And do you remember Cracker?
Yeah.
Nick actually looks like Robbie Coltrane, and he's bigger. I mean, as in taller and broader.
Yeah.
If that's possible.
That was probably supposed to be a compliment, but it didn't sound like it.
But
it was.
Robbie Coltrane's 7 foot.
Is he really?
Yeah, no. Nick's 8 foot at least. I told you I never exaggerate. And...
Then, it was good, that programme, wasn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. Well, Nick's a criminologist, and we had him on the show about 8 or 9 months ago, because he wrote a really fascinating book about a personal thing that happened to him in France, which was really quite nasty, which is how he got into a lot of this stuff. But the guys are brilliant, and they also, I happen to know, because they come to the Whitstable Tweet-Up on a regular basis, they also run the Help for Heroes charity in East Kent.
Right. So, brilliant.
Really great guys. Mm. Cool, thank you.
And they
for that.
Sound exciting.
Yeah, I think this is kind of, although it was an email, it kind of in response to hearing Alex. It's an update, Paul, dear Paul. The Invicta Chamber, on the Invicta Chamber website, we're offering free business support in Swale, Sittingbourne, Faversham area.
Mm-hmm.
From August, Kent Invicta Chamber and Swale Borough Council launch a free face-to-face business startup advice programme. for private and voluntary sectors across Sittingbourne, Faversham and Sheppey. Business, community service providers and potential entrepreneurs across the borough of Swale are being given free access to new business support programme sponsored by Swale Borough Council and delivered by Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. So if you are in the Swale area and you're thinking of starting a business and you want some help, advice and support, the place to go to is kentinvictachamber.co.uk/blog/free business support in Swale. Mm-hmm. And that link will be on the Kent Business Radio website later on, so you can follow up with that. So if you're thinking of starting a business in Swale, Sittingbourne, Faversham or Sheppey, get along and have a look at that and talk to them. I have got loads of tweets. Mark Smith, Tree Savers, why don't you phone into Business Bunker and get more publicity for your campaign? It's on now. Okay, that's an advert. Okay,
well, thank on you our behalf.
On our behalf. Thank you for that, Mark. Yes, why don't you phone us in, Tree Savers, on 01303 874 998. Give us a call. You've got 5 minutes or so left. Give us a call and tell us what Tree Savers is all about. That would be cool. MJ Design and Display. Kent-based exhibition display stand installers and huge graphics. We work nationally and in Europe, and you can find us at expo-stands.co.uk. There you go. Avocet Recruiting, thanks for the mention on Business Bunker, much appreciated. We've had 1 million people ring us since. No, they didn't say that. another one from Eden Valley Chamber of Commerce. Please can you shout out again, Eden Valley Chamber of Commerce, their event on the 22nd of August. So, yeah, that's edenvalleychamber.org, I think, if I remember, but I'll put a link on the website for it.
I've got an email here that follows up on one from last week.
Oh, okay.
And two good things, you see, and reasons for reading it out. One of them is that it describes us as being an esteemed radio show.
Of course
Thank
we are.
Thank you for mentioning our event on your esteemed radio
esteemed.
Show. Yeah, something like that. And you may
Par-boiled.
Remember this one. You may remember this one from last week where I was banging on about the fact there was no date on it. So this is Make Your Marketing Work Learning Day. And it's actually on Friday the 7th of September, full day at the Abbott's Barton Hotel in Canterbury. The investment is £57, including VAT and booking fee. And you can go and find out more about it on Eventbrite. If you remember, I read the one out last time with June on it or something. It's makeyourmarketingworksept.eventbrite.co.uk. And it's being delivered by Barnaby Winter from the Bam Bucket. And he's described on here as a marketing guru. And he's going to be showing 25 years of experience on creating over 450 brands worldwide, leaving you with a clear formula for marketing success built around the brand bucket, a trademarked methodology first developed for Saab in 1985 and used every single day since. So that's been sent in from Paul. So thank you, Paul, for listening to my little bit of coaching last week.
And for resubmitting. Yeah.
And resubmitting with the right date on it and calling us esteemed. We love you.
Cool, yeah. I had a tweet from Angela. Hey, dudes, I was surfing to that great tune. Thanks a million for the shout-out for my run for Kent Air Ambulance.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasure. Cool. Anytime, Angela. Thank you for supporting the show. I got this. I've done this one before a couple of weeks ago, and I was mercilessly ribbed for it afterwards. So,
the light walk? No.
I'm just reading what they've given me.
Go on then.
Yeah.
Go on then.
It says, step off your stilettos on the 8th of September 2012. And I refute all the evidence that has been posted on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn of me and stilettos. I refute all of that. They are photoshopped. Okay. You're invited to spend a day in the Georgian splendour of one of Kent's old country houses in Yalding, part of the beautiful Wealden countryside, and step down from your stilettos. This amazing one-day workshop will give you the opportunity to step back from your busy, hectic life, make time for yourself, and rediscover the things which give you joy. Stilettos. Mm. Our workshop will...
Do you think people like me who don't wear stilettos very often are allowed to go?
I guess, yeah. I don't suppose it's mandatory. Maybe it's like those clubs in London where you don't have a tie. Where you arrive, they give you stilettos to step off. Do you reckon? I reckon that would work, wouldn't it?
It would, wouldn't it?
That's a business idea, isn't it? Stiletto hire. If you're going to... It's not a big market, though, is it?
No, I don't really want to wear someone else's shoes. Yeah. It's never great.
Yeah, stiletto hire.
Anyway, carry on reading.
Yeah, sorry. Our workshop will help you get off the work, home, bed, hamster wheel and focus on the things which are important to you. We will also teach you relaxation techniques and how to care for those poor, overworked feet. The day will include a delicious lunch and you will come away with a variety of ways to make your life more enjoyable. And if you want to find out more details about that, you can email Caroline at carolinelove.co.uk or you can call her on 07765 855 304. Both of those are on the Kent Business Radio website if you want to follow up and step off of your stilettos and kick back and enjoy a relaxing workshop.
I think That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's important. We get so caught up in the rat race. Mm-hmm. We lose sight of our ability to relax.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that a prelude to telling us that you wear stilettos?
I do. Thrice weekly.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Charles Sandberg talk about, CEO of Facebook talk about work-life balance? Said this, it doesn't exist. You can't. If you think it does, you'll go insane trying to chase it. You have to ebb and flow. She did a whole long speech on it. I would recommend you go and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's one of those cliches that a lot of people talk about. But yeah,
doesn't
well, I think we, well, as you say, I think we try and do it, and then that actually is more stressful. I was reading a blog post the other day about holidays and should you work on holidays. Did you read it as well?
No, it's just I was having a discussion about holidays recently.
You see, I like working on my holiday, but to my own, you know, plan. So I do a bit of planning, a bit of organisation, everything else, and I like to come back having done stuff ready and organised rather than coming back to like a big pile of stuff to do and feeling worse than when I went away sort of thing. So even when I was in corporate, I still used to work on holidays and people used to think that was me being a saddo, but actually that gives me that sort of organised control. He's pulling faces at me, listener.
They were brown nose faces, if you really must know.
But it just... You know, you have to organise it, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, you know, we're going to Scotland for 3 weeks or Alex talking about going to the States for how many weeks was it? About 25 or something. You know, a different place gives you a fresher look on your life and choosing to do some work whilst you're there doesn't necessarily mean that you're not relaxing.
Yeah.
It just means that, you know, but it's individual, isn't it? Some people need to completely cut off.
I was having this debate with someone. I haven't been on holiday for years for a few years. And
that's on account of the radio show.
Well, yeah, partly. And of course, my kids are now grown up and don't want to come with me. That's the biggest problem.
I never did, but you used to force them.
Yeah,
didn't you?
When they were little, I could make them, but they're now both bigger than me and they go, nope, not coming. So I've got no one to go with. No. The fact is, I'm not interested in going on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having great fun doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's, I was going to say that's a bit like a holiday, but it isn't really. but you know what I mean.
Not wearing flip flops anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But I really enjoy what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go on holiday because I don't want to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit in an airport while the French go on strike and then spend a week looking for my luggage and then, you know,
no.
Eat too much and come back. I don't want to do that. I'd much rather just hang around at home.
Yeah.
If the kids were still younger, you know, that's different. Mm-hmm. But
what Alex was saying, you know, the fact that if you want, you can just stop and go and do something with the children or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, at times, it's the complete opposite. People sell the whole working for yourself, living the dream rubbish, where you're at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, why exactly am I doing this? But, you know, it does have its benefits, definitely.
Absolutely. We're fast approaching the end of the show. I've got a load more tweets. Telcare Limited, the telecoms people over in Medway Estate in Rochester. Yes, agree. Whitsable Tweet Up is always the best event ever. Recommend it highly. Yeah, thank you for that, Lisa. I'm not reading that. Okay, cool. I've got... how are you doing for emails?
I've got three more.
You better read... I've only got one more, so you read one of yours, because we've only got 2 minutes left.
Okay, I'll read the one about the Kent and Victor Chamber networking events. The Sitting Bourne on the 8th of August, that must be tomorrow. Breakfast with Business, Tunbridge Wells on the 15th. Lunch with Business is Tenterden on the 14th of August and Canterbury on the 16th of August. And they've got After Hours Clubs with new venues and new dates. That's Tunbridge and... Medway, so I would suggest. Oh, and there's one in Dartford as well. Have a look at the Kent and Victor Chamber website for their networking events.
Cool. Go on, do one more and then we'll call it quits. Yeah.
Another chance to enjoy a day-by-day peep into the life of a community will be offered to visitors to this year's Faversham Hop Festival. So the exhibition of scenes from Faversham life taken on behalf of the 365 Project, or the 365 Project maybe, will be held in the Assembly Rooms in Preston Street from the 1st to the 3rd of September. It will include 365 selected pictures submitted to the project by 44 photographers from the 1st of January to the 31st of December 2011, one for each day of the year. And a book's going to be sold at the exhibition, and you can buy some of the prints as canvases and prints and so on. So the Year in the Life of Sheppy Show is at Castle Connections in Queenborough from the 21st to the 23rd of September, and the Canterbury exhibition is in the Beanie Institute from the 13th to the 11th of November. So quite cool, a way of going seeing those photos in different places.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Well, we're just about at the end of another show. It goes so quickly, doesn't it?
It does.
We're talking nonsense.
Exactly. And it's so sad I won't be here for a few weeks now.
Are in the diary, though,
am
for
I
a couple of weeks' time.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll be there, then. It'll be in the diary. I just hadn't looked ahead.
Because I noticed, I thought, blimey.
Job lot.
Yeah.
Doesn't see her for months, and then all of a sudden.
Can't get
buses and all that. Yeah.
No, you are sometime in September, so you're back in September.
Yeah, cool.
And Jules is back on next week. Mm. She'll be a sombrero, stuffed donkey,
exactly.
And all the paraphernalia.
And
so
there'll be food next week, yeah, I'm sure.
I think we'll abandon guests for next week altogether. I don't think that's going to work at all, is it? While we get all the holiday stories. Anyway,
no.
That'll be that. Just say a big thank you, because we're off to enjoy some cake now with little
that's
Dodsy
right,
and to
yeah.
celebrate her sixth birthday.
Oh, we were supposed to mention it again. We're off to the bistro at Hagelands for a cookery party. So if you've got children, you can do cookery parties, but they do lots of other cookery courses and things. So that's where we're going.
And I want to mention the English wines, Chapel Down wine last week, the bottle of South American fruit-based fizzy alcoholic beverage.
It wasn't fizzy.
Yeah.
Red alcoholic.
Well, red alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. They're not
fruit-based
allowed to sell.
Beverage.
Yeah.
That wasn't a sale. That was won by Nikki Knox, who guessed the mystery word last week, which was Lola.
Ah. Very good.
Cool.
Well done. Tell us what it tastes like.
Anyway, just listen to me. A big thank you to my co-presenter, the famous Joe Dodds, and to our guest, Mr. Alex Hunter.
Thank you. Entrepreneur
and investor. Mr. Stefan Myers, author of Lost the Plot. And for all the people that tweeted, listened, and contributed emails to the show, thank you so much for listening to the Business Bunker show.
And thank you from Little Dodsy for all her birthday wishes.
Yeah, we've had a brilliant time, and we will be back with you next week. So have a good week, and we'll see you then.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.